Friday afternoon. I am in the studio, a.k.a. the 2003 Honda Civic that I use for a studio. And I am going to call my dude, Jared DeAnda, who is the Formula Drift announcer. And he also announced Grid Life stuff, and he hangs out with us at Speed Ring and does a bunch of announcements and commentary. And he's just started a new podcast, so we're going to call Jared up. Ring, ring. Come on, Jared. How's my phone work? I don't even know how to work my phone. All the myths about me are true.
This is Jared DeAnda's answering service. Leave a message after the beep.
Oh,
beep.
Man, we got... Oh, no, it's the machine. Shit. Hang on, this actually sounds like Jared's breathing. Jared, are you there?
This is Digital Breathing, brought to you by Jared DeAnda's answering service.
Jared's too bored. Jared's so bored that he's recording a podcast with me now.
No, I'm honored. I'm stoked. You hit me up and you're like, hey man, your podcast sounds good. Let's finally get you on my podcast because you're doing something relevant.
Well, you're always doing something relevant, but like every time I'm near you, we're working 12-hour days at an event, and then everybody just wants to party with the Formula Drift guys or like go back to that weird hotel in Detroit. So
exactly.
I love that hotel.
Yes. Go get burgers, go get some beer, go hang out and decompress.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, we see each other a couple times a year. You've been to Grid Life South, Grid Life Midwest. Were you at Festival Colorado or no?
I was at Alpine Horizon Festival.
That's right. You were
Colorado,
there.
I
was hanging out with you at 3 a.m. in the arcade. That's right. Now I remember.
Yeah. It was all a blur. I came in. I took a red eye from California and got in. Like Saturday morning for like the main festivities,
right.
And it was pretty epic.
Yeah, for a first year festival, that was a fun one, man.
Yeah, it was kind of bonkers. It was like it's kind of having the moment. Grid Life South in Atlanta, coming to the top of the hill where the main stage is. I kind of had a holy cow, like this is nuts. This event is bananas. And being at Alpine Horizon Fest for the first year, it has that kind of man. This is going to be something. I mean. Just when the stars align of like the creativity of the Grid Life team and then the camaraderie and the community type atmosphere of Bob and Pikes Peak International Raceway,
yeah.
That's just, you know, it's like Oprah, dude, success happens, man. When you got an idea and you got an opening and an opportunity and it just comes together and it's the secret, man. It's the recipe, right?
I know we're all real excited about that event. Hopefully like the coronavirus doesn't make that event less of an event this year, but like, I think in three, man, my cell phone, I forgot to turn off the do not disturb, and people are texting me. We're recording this one.
I remember my first podcast. We're
doing this one kind of old school. I just have you on speakerphone to knock it out quick. So,
I like it.
But I think that event is going to be really good in 2 or 3 years, man. It's going to be so. It was already a big event, but that track is like there's no track in the country that's just like, all right, what do you want to do? That sounds
right.
Great. That sounds great. Let's do that.
Yeah, no, the skid pad type mentality, and then the oval that held, you know, an IndyCar race, and
right.
then the dirt roads aspect, you know, like
the guys
from Life and Alpha bringing out their cars and that whole. I mean, that's just sick, dude. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Sierra cars. I said Alpha. Sierra cars is what I meant.
Yeah, close on. I know what you're. I was picturing the cars, so I knew what you're talking about.
Alpha, Bravo, Sierra, Charlie. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, and then the dirt road course. Which we're going to use more and more towards rally stuff. I think that's going to be a super cool element this year. Hopefully the stars align and Rally Ready Dave from Texas can bring out some cool stuff. So,
yeah, I did a podcast with Bucky, and it's coming out pretty soon, or maybe by the time you hear this, it'll be out. But Bucky and I guess Rally Ready Dave, they're just like bromance. They love each other, and they did you see what they did up in the ice up in Maine? Up at like Forest du Plessis up in the snow, and they put studded tires on those things and ripped them around.
I didn't see anything, no, but I know what you can do in the snow and on the ice and on the lakes. It's the coolest, man. Ice, like snow plus rally cars is like better than regular rally cars.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of your podcast, you have a new podcast.
Yeah, man.
I think I talked to you about a year ago about podcasts, and you were like, what do you use? And so I told you what to do. what we do at least, and you finally got one out, and your first two shows are so much better than our first 325 shows.
No,
you've got, I mean, you got Turk, and then you got Ken Block, like the biggest motorsports guest aside from like an F1 racer.
Yeah, I'm working on Daniel Ricciardo. I'm working on getting Daniel, actually, because obviously we have some mutual friends.
I hate
Daniel
so much.
No, but I mean, it's just one of those things where the stars align. And yeah, I mean, you know, you got to look at the silver lining of everything. And something like this damn coronavirus, I'm actually just cranked Corona Extra right now. That's the immunity thing, right?
Like, right. That's how you do it.
That's what you do.
Yeah, it's not where it started. It's where it ends, man. It ends with the beer.
Exactly. So, just paralysis by analysis, essentially. And I hate that saying, and I'm not proud that happened. But basically, I just didn't have time and didn't have the kind of wherewithal to do it. And finally, the stars aligned, and I got some assistance from yourself included and a lot of different people. So I'm super stoked that it all came together. And the equipment's there, and I've gotten nothing but positive feedback, and even asking, you know, after, you know how it goes, like, you just said, hey, you want to do a podcast? So reaching out to Ken Block, for instance, and I sent a text to some friends, but Ken in particular, he's very detail-oriented, not right. saying that Ryan Turk or Bucky Lassick and my other future guests are not, but Ken is very particular about things. So I asked him, and he just, you know, recommended maybe giving some sort of like outline, which is good, but at the end of the day I don't really work well like that.
No, I kind of
just like right just going diverting another area. Ooh, shiny thing. Oh yeah, what about that?
Yeah, and then, squirrel.
My wife keeps telling me, stop asking two questions at a time, just ask one and then wait and then ask the other one. And I jam-pack like five questions into one. I'm like, so what's your favorite color? Why is that? Who is your, what's your mother's maiden name? Which blood type? You know?
Well, that stuff comes with I mean, I've done 300 shows and I'm probably not as good of an interviewer as you on your second show. So you've got some talking experience though. Like you got, you're used to the back and forth, Formula Drift announcing everything else that you've done. I mean, that stuff does, some of the natural conversation skills. I mean, you got that and I think it's going to be cool. I'm excited to listen to more of them. So.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. And again, it's just having all this great arsenal of friends, and that's what it is. So yeah. To us to have a casual conversation, you know, if it's Ken and I, cause I've known Ken since 2003, something like that.
Prior to him even rally racing, you know, when he was still at DC Shoes, I got Ken Block to sponsor, I got DC Shoes to sponsor Gumball 3000 when I worked for Gumball 3000.
And that's how we met back in the day. I knew him prior, through different people here and there, but that's how we kind of first started doing business together. And that's where him and Scotto actually met. So right. Brian Scotto, who runs Hoonigan essentially, they met prior, but then that's when they really gelled was on the 2005 Gumball 3000. And that was, kind of the rest is history from there. But yeah. And yeah, just again,
so everything cool is your fault.
Oh, that's, thank you. Yeah, cool. Yeah, that's the title. That's the title of this. Jared D'Enda, everything cool is his fault. Yeah, sweet.
You've been around for a long time, and you've had the opportunities to do some really cool stuff. I mean, you saw Formula Drift's first events, it's been a wild ride. So before we get into like your history real quick, what's the name of your podcast and where do people find it?
Yeah, thank you so much. It's called Because Everybody Enjoys Roadrunners.
Yeah, what's the acronym of that spell?
It's an acronym, Beer with Jared D'Enda.
I do kind of like the breakdown of that acronym. I don't know where you got it, but it does seem to make like some weird sense for you.
Yeah, the way it kind of coagulated was I just wanted something kind of catchy, kind of wanted a mascot. So I thought of Roadrunners, and then I was thinking of different acronyms and, you know, things that are hashtags or whatever. So beer is obviously something I'm stoked on. So I was like, oh, we got this. So I just kind of spitballed it. And then my buddy Polsky, he's a tattooer. He's actually deaf. He's a really talented artist. He did the artwork. So you kind of get it with the, you know, it's not literally running the, it's not the animal. It's just a metaphor for traveling and doing life and roadrunners. I was thinking about it the other day, and it's like, because everybody enjoys roadrunners, but except snakes. So, and I really don't like snakes. So metaphorically speaking, it keeps on working. Snakes in the grass, right? You gotta trim the grass to find the snakes. So, and usually you see, when you see roadrunner, have you ever seen a roadrunner in real life?
I have not, seen one? But I've seen the cartoon, and the roadrunner totally is way radder than the coyotes. So,
right. Yeah, totally. Meet, and he just pieces out. And, but
so
when
fast.
You see him in real life, they're kind of these interesting animals. They're a little sketchy, but they're fast, and they're always like hunting, and they're a trip, man. So yeah, so beer with Jared Deenda, because everybody enjoys Roadrunners, and it can be found on pretty much all platforms, between Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. Somebody told me today it was on one that's available through Sonos and like Pocket Cast, and news to me.
If it's on Apple, it pulls to almost everything else. So you're good everywhere, man.
Yeah,
you can find. I found you on Stitcher, and I found you on Google Podcasts. So you're on both of those places. So
see, that little do I know that I got some great help, and a shout out to Jim Beaver. Actually, he helped me on the back end stuff, and he hosts a podcast called Down and Dirty. With like action sports and bunch of other motorsports, but he gave me some back end help, which that sounded really bad. I had to turn and cough when he did it, but yeah.
The Moon River.
Yeah, Moon River.
Man, I want to watch Fletch now.
Right. You got some time.
Yeah, I do have a little bit of time. I've been working my butt off with this the last week. We sold a bunch of sneeze guards, which is a thing I didn't expect to do. But now I guess I'm like the Chicago Southland area fabricator of high-end sneeze guards for motels and hotels.
Adam Jabe, sneeze guard king of the Midwest area.
That's right. Yeah, we're lacking our sausage king of Chicago, Abe Schmucker, right now.
Yep.
But he's making gumbo for his wife to eat tonight, so he's got to finish that up. He said, "Just get it knocked out. Do it simple with the." Just the other day, I hadn't done one on speakerphone with the microphone in a while, but we did one with the manager of Corvette Museum, the racetrack, Matt Busby, and because we just canceled our Corvette Museum date for Grid Life because of coronavirus, so we like knocked out a quick podcast, and I thought like, wow, this actually sounds pretty good. So I'm just gonna do the Jared one this way. So.
I appreciate it. I'm lo-fi when it comes to these things, you know.
Yeah, I'm
cool with it.
I wanted you to record your own, but that's probably a pain in your ass. So.
Yeah, I was just watching LA Originals on Netflix, and we have a Zoom call at 4 with some friends. We've been doing these themed Zoom calls. So last weekend it was Lowbrow American. So it was like Twinkies, Kid Rock, like hot dogs, right? So we dress up. And we have a Zoom hangout with our friends in New York. My buddy Jeremy Bay has a shop called 1945 Speed and Custom. He actually won Trog in his hot rod that he raced the Race of Gentlemen. But anyways, so
the Race of Gentlemen is one of those cool things that if you haven't heard of it, like you should look it up. That is a cool event, man.
It's kind of like Goodwood Revival. But it's very American, so it's Ren Faire meets hot rods. So you ideally want to like dress up and look the part,
right,
like Goodwood Revival, because Goodwood Festival of Speed is the British event, but Goodwood Revival is also the British event, I should say. But you're intended to dress up. So the girls, there's a flag girl, it's on the beach. So Trog is a rad event for sure. My buddy Mel started it with another guy. He sold the other partner sold to another buddy Bobby Green, but then Bobby sold it back to them. But Mel's kind of the curator of all that. He's been hanging out with Jason Momoa doing some stuff. Did you see the Frozen Few, where the motorcycle Harley dudes raced on ice as well?
Jersey. I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's Mel. He kind of puts those things together between Sin and Momoa and all these other cats that are just crazy on some vintage Harleys. That's a pretty dope thing that they did there too. And that was like invite only.
Man, Jared knows everybody. I love that. That's so cool. it's like everybody's like 6 degrees of separation, but like I know Jared, so it's like 1 degree of separation.
we'll eventually get there, right? And that's you know, I don't want to dwell or talk too much about it, but the coronavirus, it really puts things into perspective on what's important, who's important, what's going on, how you're handling, you know, your own unit, your family, right? And what's important, man. And so, you know, this has been a good opportunity for you and I to talk, right? Just even such as this. But
you're
then
not on an airplane right now. You would be on an airplane. You'd be like...
I'd be in Long Beach. I would be in Long Beach. Formula Drift Long Beach was supposed to happen this weekend. So not to put a timestamp on your podcast that you're recording this, because I don't know when you're going to drop it. But
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Okay. All right, okay. So Tuesday. It's coming out Tuesday. So this would be, man, we saw the winner of round one, Formula Drift Long Beach, the streets of Long Beach. Yeah, and then next weekend is... Next weekend is the Grand Prix of Long Beach.
Yeah, would have been, could have been, but now, how far in advance did they build that track out for Long Beach? Do you know? They're probably taking it down.
Yeah, it's they start putting up brick along the streets months ago, 2 months ago.
Yeah, there's probably crews right now that are finishing up taking it apart. It hasn't even happened yet, but
So. Yeah, just again puts things in perspective, and you know, we're not hanging out. It's Ryan Turk's birthday, I believe today it was the 10th, and then and then it was Forsberg's birthday, so we had a happy hour and hung out. And yeah, man, it just puts things in perspective. But it, again, it's not who you know; it's how well you know them. So I put in a couple requests to different people to rap out with them, and I already have some episodes in the can. They're going to drop every Monday, so it's just interesting to have good, cool conversations, and not just about cars, because I might be a car guy, but that's not exclusively what I'm into. I'm into art and tattoos and beers and good food and travel and family, as you know. Like, you know, it's just all of it, right? You're a sum of all your totals. Yeah.
No, I think it's really cool because of the friend group that you have is like in the modern automotive world, like it's probably one of the most eclectic groups of buddies. Like, there's like nobody that knows as many people as you do, probably. And if they do, they're probably not interesting to talk to like you would be. So I'm really glad you're I'm like super glad you're starting the podcast, actually. So,
oh man, I really, really appreciate it. That's I'm welling up. I'm blushing like a schoolgirl over here. No, that's really nice of you to say. And I'm definitely stoked that I can tap my friends and get some chew on the air for a little bit, because I'm genuinely interested. You know, I actually did a podcast the other day for Harley, because I worked a lot with Harley in 2019 and looking forward to the virus going away and doing some more content with them in 2020. But they tapped me to interview Josh Kirpius. He's actually their photographer. Really rad story of him just like wanting to ride motorcycles, learning to ride them at a young age. And then he basically monetized his passion. He works for Harley and he takes dope photos, and he's just like, I just want to be known as a motorcyclist. You know, I just want to be known as a rider. And it was a really cool conversation. So I got tapped to do that and got to interview him. And we know each other in person as I was making trips to Milwaukee, but he's been a Lana Del Rey music video because he just looked the part. And he got to make out with her, which is kind of cool. Like if you watch the video, I think it's America or American. I love Lana Del Rey, the musician. That's her dog's name, actually. But I hit up Kirpius and I was like, hey man, I'd love to talk to your boy Momoa. Like, you know, I think we'd hit it off. Like, we can crush some Guinnesses virtually and rap out. You know.
Yeah. So, it's a weird friend group that you have. As I was saying.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
How did you get into like the whole car scene led you to your current life? Like, how did that start for you? Like, where did it begin? I mean,
I know you used
to be a Honda dork, like I still am.
Yep. I love it. I still want to build an EK, and EK was kind of my gateway drug into street racing and that tuner world. But I my parents were divorced. I saw my dad growing up. I'd travel from San Diego, because when my parents divorced, I moved to San Diego, Poway to be specific, which is North County, San Diego. And I grew up in a predominant, like, it's white, but there were a lot of Filipino kids too that were racing and street racing in Miramar and San Diego. So I grew up with a bunch of Filipino kids. Go kind of fast forward to that. My first car was a 1976 Chrysler Cordoba, but then that would never start. Yeah, it was terrible. With white Corinthian leather, wouldn't start. It was embarrassing. And my grandparents and my mom were like, let's just get him a new car. So I got a Honda 96 EK. I got a CX. Okay. And I just got into the tuner world. I wanted an EG, but I'm like, oh, man, I want an EG. And then I got the EK, and that was the hot boy. Right. So, you know, it saw many different iterations of my styling vomit, from a Wings West Predator or whatever it was called, Aggressor body kit, that was like the Veilside knockoff,
right,
to a full Yeah, right. And I had 17-inch jackknives on it, silver with a blue anodized lip, and I had a single DTM tip. I had the OG like spoon upper deck carbon fiber wing, the SIR wing off the back, fully caged, but shaved the handles. And had a one-piece MB motor in front end. Shaved the handles, but never had enough money to buy the poppers. So always had to have the window cracked. And then when it rarely rained in San Diego, I left the keyhole on the trunk. So I had to do like military training to get into my car.
To climb
get the driver's
through
the
seat
back. To the
back. That's the best Ricer story I've heard in 2 years.
But mind you, I lived in San Diego, so it's not like you could leave the window cracked and it's fine. But yeah, I could never afford the poppers, which is what, $100 maybe? Yeah. Like, come on.
Man, you should have just routed the cable somewhere where you could grab onto it or something. But man, that is hilarious.
So yeah, my story is kind of unique. Just growing up in San Diego in high school, going to street races, bounce around, you know, Upper Sorrento, Lower Sorrento, Firehouse, H Street, go up to Rainbow, go to Wild Animal Park. These are all quote unquote tracks, which are straightaways back in the day. I mean, we lived the Fast and Furious life before the movie came out. They made the movie about what we quote unquote were doing.
Yeah, this
right?
would have been like what, late 90s, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, figure it's a 96 Civic, so mid to late 90s.
Right.
So I parlayed my passion to that. Well, I tried to go to junior college, but I dropped out because I had my hooked up Civic. It was silver with blue pearl on it and hooked up. And so I didn't want to get door dings. And I was a terrible student.
Yeah. Do you guys see this this EK dude? He's got this EK. He ain't got to go to college.
Right. And so, and I was a bad student. So I dropped out.
Yeah.
And then I worked at Group 5 Motorsport, which is one of the first importers of Tomei in the country in States.
Okay.
Yeah, so they brought Tomei in the States, and actually coincidentally, the first time I went to Japan was in 99. I went to Tokyo Auto Salon in 1999.
Wow.
That was the year that the Top Fuel dude unfortunately died in that EK, the Top Fuel RR. Remember that EK hatchback?
Was that the Chop Top one?
No, that was Top. Was that? No, not Top Secret. Sorry. Was it? No, the white one. Not Top Secret. Or was it? The dude died in it. He was in Option magazine. He crashed out in some trees. So, anyways,
oh yeah, I do remember that story. That was right when I like bought my first Super Street magazine, right about 99, 2000. I think I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember like KG was there, but I didn't really know about drifting, so that kind of like just was buffering for a long time because I was import drag race guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I didn't have the money, but I had all the friends and so I worked at the shop and it was awesome. And Group 5 gave me a lot of cool experience. And then I met Rodney Wills, TMR magazine, Toy Machine Racing, which is a really core culture magazine. That I met him 98-ish. And I worked at TMR magazine, which is a really core culture magazine back in the day. It was to fit in your back pocket, and then it grew to be a bigger one. It was kind of the little brother, and then we were kind of peers to Super Street and Import Tuner and stuff back in the day. But I really cut my teeth and thank Rodney Wills and his wife Joanne for us just working in the garage. I was getting paid $800 a month just doing like selling ads and hanging out, and it was great, man. It was I learned some of the best lessons there, and coincidentally that's concurrently I should say met my now wife that SEMA 99.
Right.
She was working for Tenneco Automotive, which is there in the Midwest, which is, you know, not too far from you, in Illinois. And she was doing pit hospitality for Joe Amato, worked for Dynamax and Rancho. And fast forward now, she's been at Meguiar's Car Care Products for over 15 years. But we met at that SEMA show. So working at that TMR magazine, we shut down the magazine like 2000. I'm trying to remember the storyline here of me. I think I had to do something, and I worked for did I work for Enterprise Rent-A-Car? I worked for Enterprise at one point, and I worked for Modifiers or X Concepts, the tech deck skateboards, but I worked on the cars. Okay. So they're the Modifiers toys. So I was the authenticity consultant. I worked there for 6 months. They stuck my brain of knowledge, and then they kicked me out the door.
Okay.
So that was after Enterprise. So I worked at all things car related. And then I worked at Gumball 3000 for quite a few years, 1 year officially, but I put on a a movie premiere at the Chinese Theater, the one in Hollywood.
Really?
Richard Rawlings was there, and Joel and Benji Madden and Ryan Dunn, and yeah, I put on this premiere. It was crazy. Like back in the day, like Rawlings wasn't anything back then. He was just an aspiring, wanting to be a famous person, and now he's blown up beyond. You know, get you some of that Miller Lite.
yeah. He found his path for sure.
Yeah. So, but I introduced Maximilian Cooper. At the time, he was married to his then wife Julie. Now he's married to Eve. Yes, the rapper Eve. Maximilian founded Gumball, but he has four kids with his previous wife. But okay. I introduced him to all the action sports people. So I brought in Bucky Lassick, Kerry Hart, Travis Pastrana, like Mira, rest in peace, Dave Mira. She's somewhere over there. So I brought in the action sports thing. So Tony Hawk. So Tony Hawk is Maximilian's son's cash godparent. God. Yeah. So, yeah. So,
jeez.
Worked at Gumball, left that. I was going to move to Arizona, work for Rockford Fosgate. My wife was working for McGuire. She was going to leave special events. Anyway, she stayed on. We moved to Arizona. I worked for McGuire's for 3 years. Concurrently, 2004, Ryan Sage and Jim Lau, Formula Drift, start Formula Drift because they kind of got screwed by D1GP and the Japanese sanctioning body because they brought it to the States and they're like, oh, we're going to do D1 US without you. So bye. So they started Formula Drift.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, you're charismatic. Why don't you try this? I was working for Speedwell Footwear. Do you remember those shoes that were out for a little bit? They're like driving shoes and fashion. So I was working there.
Speedwell. I don't know if I know about those.
Yeah, it's pretty. If you look them up, Speedwell Footwear. It's kind of a. It was a flash in the pan there for a little bit, but okay. It was owned by a massive shoe factory,
right.
In Asia. But I met some great friends through those years. But Ryan reached out to me, and Ryan and Jim met when they were working at Hot Import Nights because Jim came from the import drag world, and Ryan came from just kind of more music side of things.
Right.
So they're like, hey, you're charismatic. Why don't you try it? So that was 2004, Atlanta round one, and Sonoma, Irwindale, and Texas at like the Houston Texans parking lot, which right. was a blast, man. We could, again, watching documentaries, we could definitely make a story about parties and dumb stuff.
I believe it.
So. Yeah, here we are 17 years later in 2020 and, you know, about to kick off, but, you know,
someday.
It's just the growth of it's just really impressive. And I'm really proud of how drifting has allowed me the ability. You know, there's some down years, you know, 08, that was like the economic kind of downturn, and that was a really tough year. But now I've just parlayed it thanks to friends such as Grid Life, and now it's like Red Bull Crashed Ice or Monster Energy Gymkhana Grid or Harley Davidson or Snap-on Tools has just been a great, you know, I don't want to call it partner, but a friendship. And, you know, I work with my friends, and, you know, and it's a double-edged sword where it's like, I got to tell them I hate money. I'm really not motivated by money. I'm motivated by experience. So as long as that keeps going and I can monetize my passion and my kids can have, you know, food on their plate. And, you know, obviously I like nice things. So I eventually want to have nice things if it's nice shoes or gear or whatever, but
yeah, it's nice to like pay your bills.
Yeah, bills are kind of crucial.
Bills suck. Yeah. You got to get those gone, man. Yeah.
Dude, just, I know. Believe me.
Yeah, I love seeing things like Sam Nelvin, who's a Maximum Driftcast buddy, mm-hmm. and been to a bunch of Grid Lifes, like him in the middle, like you guys have an Airbnb, you're doing something for Snap-on, and he's like flying drones in your face and you're like punching drones. Like it does look,
oh, you like that video? Yeah.
Yeah, it does look like you kind of have like a fun job life.
Yeah, it's good, but you know, management of people, right? Personalities and right. how people are conditioned, and the cement is drying. We're not getting any younger. So, you know, I you know, just kind of airing dirty laundry here. I never get the master bedroom. I'm the biggest dude. I'm usually the oldest, and I never get the master bedroom when it's Airbnb.
No.
So at some point, it's again working with your friends, and I love my people at Snap-on, and obviously the race service guys, or if it's Red Bull or Monster, and Harley Davidson, like I said, has been great in 2019. I flew out to Milwaukee so much. But yeah, Sam, you know, yeah, great guy, Scott at Snap-on, you know,
Scott's the best. Yeah, Scott is so cool. And his Radical is the first car that I ever, probably ever rode in at a Grid Life. I rode with him in his Radical, Ron Blackhawk Farms.
Oh, you did?
And that, man, that really spoiled me on cars for a while. That Radical is a good car. That's a good car.
Yeah, it hopped up more. So, yeah, Scott Singfield at Snap-on. So he's thrown in a new hot rod engine, and he's we call it the Rascal.
Yeah. No, he's such a good dude. I like Scott a lot. But...
Yeah, no, yeah. Scott's been really loyal and just been a great person to work with.
Yeah, I do know about the never getting the master bedroom. Like I've been all around the country with Chris at Grid Life Stuff, with Partner Things, at other events, and like unless I'm in the bed with Chris, I never get the master bedroom.
So, you're like the dog, just sleep at the foot of the bed.
Yeah, or on the couch or whatever. I get that. I understand that.
Yeah, you got to be pliable again with all these things, and that's why I say, like, people are like, you know, like, you complimented me, your network of friends, but it's not, you know, who you know, it's how well you know them, how pliable you are. I'd like to think that, in my mind, I think I'm Jack Johnson, but I'm definitely not. I'm the angry, like, dad sometimes.
Right.
So, it's, you know, I don't know who metaphorically musician-wise I would be, but maybe a little bit of Lewis Black as a comedian or something like that, you know? Like just, get on that chair, you know?
Oh, I get that. Lewis Black is hilarious. I love him from the Opie and Anthony days.
Right, just the, like,
yeah, that's a,
you know, just turns red. So yeah. that's kind of me sometimes. Like I said, I think I'm Jack Johnson and hippie and Nag Champa listening to records, and then I just go full on, you know, mm-hmm. Not Peter Griffin, my wife chimes in over here. I'd say more Fred Durst. Give me something to break. I don't know.
You're traveling too many days, though. This has got to be nice, man, with your travel schedule. Like that would make anybody crabby. But like the last couple weeks, that's got to be kind of a break, a nice refreshing break, though.
Yeah, it's bittersweet as far as not traveling. I mean, I travel about 130,000 miles a year.
So,
but you know, it's a lot of that's international. So hopefully make it back to New Zealand. We were to do 3 drift shifters this year, with Mad Mike and Red Bull, in a couple of weeks. I was meant to be in Denmark. And I don't know if they've announced the other 2 locations, but everything's sliding over. So eventually it looks like October is going to be a jam packed month full of events.
Yeah,
on Monday, you're going to Denmark. Tuesday, you're going to Colorado for Alpine Horizon Fest. Wednesday, you're shooting something at Snap-on. Thursday, you're going to Milwaukee for Harley. You
it
know,
does
like,
seem like this that fall is going to suck.
I mean, but that's again, that silver lining where,
right. Right.
These company, everybody has perspective on their own perspective through their lenses and how they're going to manage that. So, you know, it's like we got our taxes back and this, that, and the other thing. We have to just adjust accordingly and create that sliding scale. So we'll see, man. We'll see. I mean, it's, you know, so to answer your question as far as travel, it's bittersweet because, yeah, I can spend time with my kids, but I'm doing school. And I thank the teachers, man. Just, I don't know what Tyson's. You know, my just turned 6 years old, and he had his birthday during the quarantine, so that's unfortunate. My oldest will be 14 in July,
right?
And I don't know if he's going to survive the quarantine. Not that he's sick, I might just kill him because every time I ask him something, he responds with "What?" Like I don't know what's going on.
when did your 6 year old turn 6? Because my 6 year old turned 6 last Tuesday.
Okay, March 18th was his birthday.
Oh, okay, yeah, so, March 30 is my little girl's birthday, and she 6 years old is busy too. I can't imagine having 2, but
right, And how old's your daughter turn?
She just turned 6, also. So
that's right. I think we talked about that.
You got 10 days older than mine, or whatever. So
yep. So baby death match, go. 6 years old.
Yeah, I don't know. My kid is tall, but you're tall also, so you might have a tall kid too. So maybe our kids could. Yeah. It would probably be like a good 3 rounder at least until Emma got her face stuffed in.
No, I think the girl would get sneaky and just like
she is
do
sneaky.
Like eye jab or something
like
that.
She's diabolical a little bit. So you never know. It might not be a fight we want to set up. But
and you're from the Midwest too. You guys get crafty. Mine's from Arizona, so he'll just like
it's always warm there. It's always warm. You don't have to. You don't have to be in the snow. You don't have to shovel. Like you know, we got hard people up here, man.
You're built for this.
That's right. Well, I do appreciate you coming on the show, man. I think your show is rad, and I'm looking forward to it every Monday. Now, you're putting episodes out every Monday.
Yeah, every Monday. Yeah. Every Monday, beer with Jared Deanda because everybody enjoys Roadrunners, and I've already got some episodes in the can, so I'm excited. And I'll tell you that Bucky Lassick. So if this comes out Tuesday, Bucky Lassick is the newest episode. So he's a very old friend of mine, and everybody tells him that he plays Tony Hawk Pro Skater. They used him playing Tony Hawk Pro Skateboarder.
Yeah, and I did too, and, man.
But I've known him I've known him longer than I've known my wife.
That's a long time.
Yeah,
that's a long time.
Yeah. So we have a good conversation. There's some more. There's some more people of interest coming in. I already have their interviews, and I'm interviewing a musician on Monday.
Cool.
And that'll be out in a couple of weeks. So some rad people, man.
When you put an Instagram post up that you'd finally launched it, and I was like, oh man, his second guest is Ken Block. Shit.
It's
so cool.
You know what's terrible about that? You're like, damn it. But I appreciate you being like, hey man, so we need you on our show. So right. I appreciate that.
We've got 5 years of an established like car culture audience, and like I want to show our audience like your cool friendships. Like I think that's so cool.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. Are we done? That was it. Like I feel like we're just getting warmed up.
We can go as long as you want, man. There's no time limits on Slip Angle Podcast, but I want to be respectful of your time, but if you want to open another beer, I've got sort of a beer down here, so I'm ready to go for a while. But,
yeah, what are you drinking? What do you
it's
got?
It's definitely not a White Claw that I had sitting on the garage counter. Definitely not.
This isn't the White Claw you're looking for.
No, this
yeah,
is...
exactly.
Yeah, it's...
What flavor is it not?
It's not raspberry.
Okay. All right. I like not raspberry. It's strawberry.
I think I've actually had a White Claw with you in Colorado.
Oh, yeah. Multiple.
Yeah.
And probably at Midwest, too, on the Party Bullies party adventure.
Dude, the Party Bullies. So let's talk about that for a minute. Like the first Party Bullies a couple of years ago, that happened accidentally. And that was one of the crazier scenes that I've ever been a part of. Because my life is like basic Dutch construction worker. And then like 10 times a year, I go to racetracks with Chris and we have a crazy weird weekend.
Shit got weird, man. It got real weird.
So
man.
When I see like Vaughn, like elbow dropping and jumping onto random people's like campsites and like wrecking their tables, and then it got real crazy for a couple of years there. But,
and that's the beauty of it, man. Just letting people. That's what grid life. Grid life is right on time. You know, grid life. Then I was talking to Katie Osborne. I don't know if you know who she is, but she hosts some stuff for Meekum and she's an on air host and stuff, and she's rad. Anyways, we were talking about she used to date Tanner Faust, and we were talking about GRC back in the day, and they wanted to do something like grid life, and grid life came along and just did it, and it's just on time. So it's kind of like when Linkin Park and Jay-Z did their mashup, you didn't know you needed to hear that, but it was on time, you know. And some people really hate Linkin Park, and then
I do.
Some
not.
People love.
I loved them.
Yeah, and some people love or hate Jay-Z, but coming together, that was just a unique time. So when it comes to grid life, that it's that the hero you didn't know you needed, you know, and it's just this mash culture. And some people come for the music, some people come for the cars. And for me, I'm like, yes. Like when Chris and I first met at SEMA, I was like, dude, yes. I saw Turk was the first guy to kind of go and do it. He was kind of the Mad Mike to the Goodwood Festival Speed. He was kind of the first astronaut to land on the moon as far as grid life goes. And it looked just awesome. So I feel like just the relationship we've all formed at Grid Life and between the drifters and what the culture is. And now it's like, sweet. Like it's got, no pun intended, traction, you know, and it's a little bit loose like drifting, and it's got all the beats like the music, and even linking, you know, getting Killer Mike out there. And I helped, you know, do that through our friend D-Map, Daryl Mapp, who's in Atlanta. And you know what I mean? Like it's perfect timing, man. It's great. It's love it. So all that being said, to come to an event and be in a safe place, in a safe space. So Vaughn, let go, crank some moonshine and elbow drop some tables, you know?
Dude, that night, that first Party Bullies night, I remember like coming back towards the stage area, and it was like 2 a.m. And Vaughn is doing a burnout on my buddy Josh. I think he's a listener still, Josh Malden's dirt bike. And Vaughn had the most doll, like he had like black eyes, like a doll's eyes, like a shark. Like that dude had gone so hard.
There's blood in the water. Yeah, he's gone. Yeah. Punch him in the nose. That's how you get him off. It was insane, man.
I was just like walking through campground with another buddy of mine, and then like Austin and Matt Farah were like, dude, we got something crazy going on. Get on the golf cart. And they're leading. And I looked behind, and it was the start of Party Bullies. Yep. And like, I'm like, holy crap, there's six golf carts of Formula Drift guys.
Yeah, and you can't chase the dragon. Like, you know, you try to. It did get duplicated fairly well, but the problem is, and as you know, and anybody listening to this knows that at racetracks, there's carts.
Right.
Some people do know, and some people don't know, that more injuries and deaths happen on golf carts at racetracks than actually in cars.
Yeah.
So that being said, when you combine, you know, alcohol and, you know, the free spirit and more people, it's going to happen, you know? Yeah. So, I do remember, and I don't know if you remember this video. I think this was last year at Midwest or 2 years ago with the margarita machine where we tried to share margaritas with everybody, but it ended up all over me.
I think that was 2 years ago. The first Party Bullies was 3 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, things happen in great ways, and singing Sam Nalvin Happy Birthday.
And, that was fun.
You know, yeah. And we raised like $150 to go to the DJ to play like Africa, and he played like the terrible like electrono version. I'm like, dude, you suck. Give me that money back. No. All right. Fine. Whatever.
Yeah.
So those things are right on time, man. Again, to have that safe place for, you know, the Falcon guys embracing it, Falcon Tires as a company, you know, the Hoonigan guys coming out, you know, Pollock, Daijiro, you know, Literal coming out with NRG, and like, I mean, you name it, man, Nick Swan and Cone, and everybody's having a blast, man. It's rad.
Dude,
I love Grid Life.
I love that you love Grid Life. And I'm honored that you come to our stupid party that like, when Chris wanted to do a second event, because we had done our West Michigan Honda Meet for like 10 years, and that was the event that he and I basically put on with a bunch of buddies from 2004 to 2014, and we still do it. But then Chris was like, hey, I want to do another event. Can you do like more? And I was like, yeah, I guess. And and he didn't know what to call it, but I remember being in the garage the first night, and he was like, I just want to bring like everybody to the same place and like make it a crazy party. And it actually freaking worked.
so good.
Yeah,
I love it.
I'm glad that you guys all show up. But that first Party Bullies was probably, I remember vividly when it was kind of over. Chris coming up in the blue tiny van, the little Honda Acty, and he pulls up to me and he's like, dude, what was that? And I was like, it was crazy, man, but I don't know, but it was crazy. And he was like, you were with them? And I was like, yeah, we were kind of keeping them away from the cops, like, because the sheriffs knew me, because I had talked to like the head of the sheriff's guy, and so like the sheriffs would come over and I'd be like, no, it's all right, it's okay.
It got really wild. Yeah. And unfortunately, Atlanta, you know, that venue is a little traditional compared to some of the
That's a great word for it.
Opposed to the free spirit of Gingerman, you've built that relationship. It's grown at a reasonable rate. So to come in at Atlanta and bring in kind of the potential and the actual product and brand and activation and that vibe, it's like, whoa, what's going on here? So not once, but twice, just some conflict, and I've been part of that as well.
Yeah, you definitely were a part of some of that, but we don't need to get too deep.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm the tallest building in the skyline, so usually I'm going to get attacked, and usually I stick up for my friends. So there was just not usually, I always stick up for my friends. Sorry. You know, and there was a scenario with the stage and just trying to get where we're at, and that was unfortunate. But you know, it's just communication. It's like anything. It's a relationship. If it's your wife, if it's, you know, somebody you make love to, or somebody you hate, you just need to have that conversation, have it out. So not once, but twice, you know, at Atlanta, like the year that big fight was happening, was it the Connor and
that was a weird night. It was we had Ludacris playing, and it was our biggest concert ever. And then we walk down the hill, and there's like 1,000 people around some trailer, and the fight's being like shown, and there's like booty girls up on the trailer in smoke machines, and it was like, this is Race Wars from Fast and Furious.
Right.
It was a weird night.
Yeah. No, I mean, recounting these stories, and you know, that's that's what I enjoy with this. Like I said, I'm not motivated by money. I'm motivated by experience. And, you know, the other side of it is my wife thinks I'm just partying all the time. And, you know, sometimes the road is lonely. Sometimes the road is lonely, though. You know, I'm missing my kid's soccer game, or I'm missing just sleeping in my own bed. And I mean, you know, but this is the life chose me. I didn't choose this life, which is an absolute blessing. You know, I believe in Christ, and I believe that, you know, I think it's sweet that I'm absolutely blessed. You know, like it's fucking crazy. You know, I love God, but I cuss a lot.
Well, that does happen. That's what I do too. I'm in that same boat. But.
You know, it's cool that I do have friends such as Ryan Sage and Jim Lau who kick that off, and then it networked into announcing X Games, and then this person I work at this event and do Red Bull Frozen Rush, you know, which is that Pro 4 truck race out at Sunday River in Maine, right, on snow, and they're like, hey, do you want to try this? Okay, cool. So I did that crashed ice event, you know, and then Gymkhana Grid happened because Monster, you know, did this one event, and then it spawned into X Games and this and that and Rally and GRC.
Busy, man. Busy. Yeah. Do you still enjoy actually calling an event, or is that just like, filling out your TPS reports in the at the office now?
I think that when it's exciting, it's exciting. You know, somebody who, you know, just like announcing baseball, you know, all right, ball one. Okay. You know, the batter takes a stance, takes a look at it, you know, okay, strike one. Okay. You know, okay. Ball counts one or one. It's when you get the sensational moments, that's when you're like, holy cow, that's awesome. You know, I mean, even doing an event like, Speed Ring, you know, like when that lap track bracket battle, bracket battle, whatever it's called.
Yeah, those are there's a lot happening, but when something big happens and the lap record breaks or like,
it gets sensational. It's the Giants win the pennant. The Giants win the pennant. It's those moments where, right. I mean, just for me, like Jonathan Castro, when he was in Florida going against, I don't even know who was going against right now. I think it was James Dean or Kristaps, and it was just like, holy cow, like that. Like Ryan Sage was welling up. It was so amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Like that you're like, holy cow, that was probably one of the most amazing runs, you know, that we've seen. And it was just sensational. So Stephanie, my wife, has asked me, you know, years ago, like, do you still enjoy doing it? And I do, because I really do enjoy the relationships. I miss the circus atmosphere. So that's the downside of it right now is,
right,
you know, and I'm getting hit up by people to host this or do that. If it's the Blackout Garage Zoom video or voiceover for Harley, but tomorrow I'm chiming in on a Forza competition going down, like, you know, so,
nice.
And I know Corey Hosford's doing one with a set of Corsa, but this one is with Andrew Haitley and Brian Eggert, who's a real Formula Drift judge. He's going to be a judge.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hopefully announce that tomorrow. I am. So, you know, by the time this airs, it'll be over. But so gotta sharpen the knife a little bit, you know, stretch the legs.
I just announced our first Forza Grid Life track battle, like, round. We did one at Brands Hatch.
It was
like learning a whole different skill set, because like you can't hear the things and you don't feel the ground moving underneath of you, and you don't actually have to like wave the cars out, but you also don't have to send the fire truck ever or the tow truck. So nobody's nobody ever has to scrub the track when you're playing Forza. So
a sneak peek here, Ryan Blaney is one of the guys that's going to be on my podcast, and I interviewed Ryan Blaney, who currently races for NASCAR and Team Penske. And I wrapped out with him, and he's going to be on my podcast. But I asked him, I said,
podcast,
so are you
so much better than mine?
Humble brag, right?
Right. Yeah. Man, it's been like a name drop every 30 seconds, but it's not like, it's not douchey. It's just like Jared's friend's name. And I'm just so mad that I'm not Jared sometimes.
Oh, come on. Well, we know each other, and that's why we're sharing this, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, but Blaney, I asked him, so are you flourishing or are you floundering as far as the simulator goes? And he says, definitely floundering. And it's funny because I was you know, again, another sneak peek, but, or it wasn't even off, it wasn't even on camera, but I was like, where are you at? Or I asked Blaney, I said, hey man, can we Skype or FaceTime or whatever? And he says, well, I can't do it at my house. I don't have a good Wi-Fi. So he had to go over to his buddy's house, who coincidentally was Bubba Wallace, you know, Bubba Wallace, he races. And I was FaceTiming him and I was like, hey man, where are you at? He's like, oh, Bubba's house. And I was like, oh, I know of Bubba. We have some mutual friends, but how's he going? He's like, hey man, hook up that Snap on. I said, oh, now you know me. Now you know who I
now,
am.
Yeah. Now he knows. He's got your number now. Yeah.
Yeah. Bubba's like, yeah, hook up that Snap on. We'll talk some more. So, but my buddy Brian Sherman, who works at NB Court, he was saying that the Indy coverage and the Indy racers are more accustomed to this. You know, those guys are constantly, if they're at CXC, which I've been to in LA, at Base 51, they're constantly in simulators. And, you know, between F1, a lot of open wheel dudes are accustomed to being in simulators anyways.
Yeah. They're playing whatever simulator du jour they're playing today, you know, iRacing or whatever it be, but they do it constantly, you know, but maybe not so much with the roundy round good old boys, but
no, not at all. It's a different deal. And what I do love, and I pointed out to my wife when I watched the most recent NASCAR races, they're outfitting their rooms like their pits, and different drivers are doing different things. I can't remember who it was, but the Geico car, he had like a stuffed lizard on his cabinet, and then like he printed off on like just printed off and said like Geico 15% or less. Like it was like just text on a printed paper taped to the wall behind him. But then like Kyle Busch, who actually does not do well at all in the simulators, he had like a dope setup. He had a step and repeat. He had racks of M&Ms, and it was brought to you. Yeah, it was brought to you by like Food Mart or something like that. And he had like a paper bag with it. It was all like staged. I'm like, holy cow, this is dope. Like, yeah. I was kind of into it. Like, I was into like the marketing side of it. I was like, this is so smart. And then I heard that my buddy Brian was saying that IndyCar, Will Power, got his comms turned off because he was talking smack to other drivers, so they turned him off.
Yeah, you can actually in those races, you can actually talk crap to your friends. Yeah, no, it's a weird month for motorsports, but I'm glad everybody's like seemingly. Like from our level up to SCCA, up to freaking all the way to IMSA, to IndyCar, to NASCAR, like everybody's just like, well, I guess all we can do is like play on video games. So,
right. No, it's, yeah. And again, that's that blessing, man. Like I've offline messaged some people about different people that are car guys. Cause for me, the continuity obviously is cars, and that's where my most equity is live for, you know, lack of a better term, but so many different things. And did you listen to the Ken Block podcast at all? Did you listen to the whole thing?
I started it on the walk home right after I texted you a few minutes ago, actually.
Okay. Well, listen to the rest of it. I think you'll enjoy it because what I enjoy about it is Ken Block is a huge art collector. He went to architectural school. Like, you know, his background is in business, and he always calls himself a lucky bastard. So just these things that happen, and I love those stories. You know, again, Bucky and I, and another episode coming up, Rutledge Wood, I wrap out with him, and we talk, and we ended up talking about like relationships and kids and stuff. Like, we barely talked about cars at all.
Yeah.
And that for me is, you know, obviously it's cars are part of what we do, but it's not who we are.
No, they're sort of, I mean? But they're like the glue between all of our friends, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that like base is that's probably why we have like some of the best friends in my life are made at the racetrack. And like, they're the people they're the people that are calling me during this podcast, and they're texting me all day. And like, like, they're the ones who are checking up on us, like, hey, everything okay? How's grid life going to weather this? You guys doing all right? Like, how's your mental state? Like, every day, every freaking day. And like, those are the people that I want to hang out with every day until I can't hang out with them anymore, you know?
Right. So no, you got to have that glue. Support.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm trying to support my local businesses. Of my buddies have restaurants and breweries, which makes it easy because it's consumables. But it is the artists also too, like tattoo artists and people like that. Like, I did get tattooed on St. Patty's Day. My cousin and his oldest son, I call him my nephew, but we all got tattooed on St. Patty's Day, which is pretty much, we weren't on quarantine on lockdown yet, but
Yeah,
I just wanted to get in there, and it was kind of it. That was the last hoorah, man. So, but you know, I'm trying to buy some stuff for my wife for her birthday and support some artists and stuff like that. So, but we'll get through this, and you know, just life is different as we know it. And if you didn't change from this, then you're dead inside, man. Because the level of grace really needs to happen, and you see that with some people, and you see it with, and you don't see it with some other people. But from our perspective and my family's perspective is, I think there needs to be a level of grace. And like what I keep saying is 9/11 was a singular incident that rocked America, of course, but then the world, but this is worldwide, and, right. and everybody's major impact, you know, it happened twice on 9/11, and now the impact, there's different impacts happening at different times. So yeah. Everybody's perspective is different, but the level of grace and empathy is going to hit eventually, when the numbers are just staggering, and when it hits really close to home, and that's when you're like, oh crap, you know, I mean, who knows, like, you know, the stats say that we are going to know somebody who's going to pass from this,
right?
You know,
and even if we don't, like, we know somebody who has been deeply affected financially or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, this is this affects everybody, small to huge. Like, it's not going to be a fun party, but we get to party afterwards. So
yeah, we do, and I hope, you know, anybody listen to this, I appreciate, you know, them listening in and tuning in and investing in you. It might not be monetary, but it's emotional, you know, and it's good. And it's got to be, because everybody, I was having, again, all these, the conversations I've had either online or offline, I might change when I come out of this. I think I'm going to have more pop is the thing. I feel like I'm tired of thinking what other people think of me, and it's just like, screw it. I need more pop. I'm over this. I'm gonna come out wearing more tie dye and be more hippie, I think.
I kind of know what you mean. Like, I'm going to my day job, and like we're doing stuff that like needs to happen. We're like repairing buildings and everything. But like, I have these two companies. I've got this like company that I have passion for, and then this other company that I have to do right now still. But like, it's changing the way that I want to spend my life. You know what I mean? Like, I want to spend my life more with my kid and with my wife and with my friends. I don't really want to burn the candle at both ends forever. Like, it's really been a big motivation to like, okay, after this opens up again, like, I want to make more memories, because I don't know how long, you know, you never know how long this is gonna last. So
right,
and no, this has been kind of sobering too. Like, it's like, well,
yeah,
like if I know somebody who dies, like I will wish I spent more time with them, you know. So
yeah. Unfortunately, my grandpa did pass away during this, so we're going through that. Unrelated to COVID-19, but my grandpa, 95 years old, World War II fighter pilot, shot down over Germany, you know, married 76 years as of, you know, February 2020. My grandma's still 93. She's still alive, but we've been coping with that, and it was his time. You know what I mean? Like, he was, you know, but it's just, it's handled very differently, and it's difficult for some than others. And my dog barks at people when they walk in the house. So so that's Lana Del Rey. She doesn't have the sweet pipes that the musician really does. But she does have some.
Is it really Lana Del Rey?
yeah, our dog's name is Lana Del Rey. We adopted her, but she was from this place called Rockstar Rescue in Arizona, in Tempe, and they named their dogs after musicians. And she was initially named Cindy, and we're like, her name's not Cindy. And I wanted to call her Ray, because she had a huge growth on her face, and she survived the desert like the character Ray in Star Wars.
Okay.
So, but then a triple entendre on that would be that we called her Lana Del Rey, because then she's a musician and she's Ray, and she, you know, went through the desert. So Lana Dog Ray. Maybe that's what it is.
Kind of rad. What kind of dog is it?
She, from what we initially thought, we thought she was a mutt, but then Wolfgang Man and Beast is a harness and leash company.
Right.
They do the Ken Block signature ones. Anyways, the founder of the company sent us some collars and leashes, and I'm like, oh, this is our new pup. we love her. She's rad. Her name's Lana Del Rey. We don't know what she is. She's a cool mutt, blah, blah, blah. Well, he's like, hey, look at my dog. I think it's the same breed. Looks just like your dog. And people tell him, and he thought it was a mutt too, that it's a black mouth cur. So she has like a black, you know, nose, what do you call it, like muzzle, right. And then like mascara. So she, it's kind of like a leaner German Shepherd, but medium size.
That's a good size dog. My dad's got kind of a smaller German Shepherd too, like 50, 60 pounds, and that's a great dog. So.
Yeah, so she can climb a fence like nobody's business. So she has that kind of like crazy military style. So we have like cinder block walls, and she can get up on top like a freaking cat, dude. It's crazy.
On top of the walls behind your pool and stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, it seems that's a dangerous dog.
but she doesn't hurt anybody. She's just very protective, and that's exactly so. Yeah, anybody listen to this and wants to hurt me, she will mess you up.
Don't go to Jared's house, man. That dog's going to get you. She's going to get you. But...
Exactly. Lana Del Rey, she may be sweet, but she'll stab you.
Yeah. Just like those Canadians. We always like to call the Canadians backstabbers. They're the nicest people in your face, and then they'll stab you in the back.
Sorry, eh? Did I just kill you, eh?
No, I know I've got a bunch of Canadian buddies that listen to this, and it's a joke. It's sort of a joke between me and one Canadian buddy. Sorry if the other ones don't get it. Anyway.
Well, I love how you did the Canadian joke. Sorry if you don't get it.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry. Going to Timmy Ho's. Going to get myself a... I love that you can get a side dish as a donut. Like, that's like... Do you want fries with that? No, I'll take the donut. That's what I want.
I wish they had that at more places, man. That would be like the best side dish at McDonald's. I know their fries are good, but like, man, if I get like a Krispy Kreme with that burger.
Right? A good old Bavarian cream-filled donut as a side. And question, how is poutine a Canadian treat? That sounds more American than anything that we make, right?
It sounds like it came out of Milwaukee. Okay. It's a Milwaukee
thing. Here we go. Totally. We got French fries. We got cheese. And then, hold on, wait, we're going to put gravy on top of it. You're welcome. And they're like, actually, qu'est-ce que c'est, parlez-vous français, poutine?
It does not sound like anything that came out of Montreal or Ontario.
No. Have you spent much time up Montreal? Have you ever gone to the F1 race or anything up there?
I've never gone to the race, but I have gone to a rally in Maine through French Canada area and gotten lost in the middle of the night. I think you know him, Matt Johnson, our buddy Magic.
You call him Rally Matt, and then now he's known notoriously among Hoonigan family as Magic Matt.
Yeah, so like in 2005, he and I and our buddy Luke, who used to be our lead instructor at Grid Life and Honda Meet, Luke was the co-driver, and then you know Bill Caswell, right?
Yeah, of course.
Do you know the guy that was his co-driver at the WRC Mexico, Ben? What's his face? He's got one eye.
I don't.
We called him One Eye Ben, but One Eye Ben was the other guy on this trip.
Was he like in the Goonies movie, like One Eye Ben? Yeah, like, see this one?
He's taking it back. He's got one eye because he had a bungee strap incident and it snatched his eye out.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy?
But, man.
Yeah, literally lost an eye to a bungee strap. But so we're driving through French Canada, Matt and Luke and Ben and I, and like in this ancient F-250, and we are so lost, and I'm like, I am never coming back here ever again. It was like 2 a.m., 4 a.m., the ramp fell off the trailer. I fell asleep in a parking lot just because I needed to stretch out because it was only like an extended cab F-250, not a four-door.
And these are the stories you remember, and that's why you got to do this kind of shit.
That was the weekend that I met Travis Pastrana underneath a race car.
Sick.
Yeah,
that's so great. And that's what I love about this, like, you even just, again, putting this all together and those stories, and we could go on for days, right? Like,
days,
just,
man,
this dumb
days.
Stuff.
Yeah, we actually got through tech at that rally. It was an EG Civic. We had an LS swap in it with a Type R trans. And so we put brand new axle seals in it before we left, and Napa had the wrong part number. And so, like, you know, when the axle goes into the trans, it was just pissing. It was pissing fluid everywhere. It was terrible.
It's not a right fit.
No, it was the wrong seals, and like nobody had the right ones. So we had to pass tech, and like tech involves like being a road legal race car or road legal car, right? And they're like, no, it's leaking too much fluid. So, like, we pull back into Park Exposé, and I, like, drained all the fluid out of it, and then we ran it through tech.
No way.
We ran it through tech with no fluid in it.
No way.
Yeah, and I'm underneath of it trying to fix it again in Park Exposé, like, trying, like, the third trans seal. And Travis Pastrana, like, pokes his head under, and he goes, hey, man, what you doing? And I was like,
no way.
Shit, you're Travis Pastrana. I even know who you are. That was before, it was like his third or fourth rally race ever. So,
that's awesome.
And my uncle was a big motocross dude, so I knew who he was. But yeah, no, cars are the glue, man. They glue me to all my friends. So,
funny story, Gumball 3000. I can't remember what year it was, but I think it was Paris. Paris, England. I know it ended very shortly. I think this is the one that, unfortunately, a death happened on the road and they canceled the rally.
Oh, geez.
Because I got stuck in Bratislava.
I don't even know where that is.
I don't remember either. but I will tell you that a funny incident that happened, and it just came to my mind about the stories that you remember. You know, I mean, I do remember driving a Ferrari 550 Marinello across Italy going 170 plus, for sure. But a good one was we were in the Channel. So when you take, do you know what the Channel is? It's the, it's the train that goes under the water that goes from, you
France
know,
to England,
from
yeah.
France. Yeah. France, England. So, I'm with my buddy Fly. Fly is a founding photographer for Max Power magazine for all you nerds. So Fly is a great friend of mine. I've known him for multiple years. And, we were in a Range Rover, just a Range Rover SUV. Is Gumball 3000 just started. They kicked it off late. And, you know, we leave in the night in the Channel. And we pull on, and we're hanging out. You get in the Channel. It's like a very short ride, but you can get out of your car. You pull your car. It's a double-decker. You get out, kind of hanging out, you know, shooting the shit. And basically we're going to get off of this thing. And there was a giant black male genitalia suction cupped to multiple different cars. And it ends up in our car when we're getting off of this Channel on the train. Well, this massive unit ends up in my lap. It's like a 2.5. It's like a 2-foot thing.
Oh my
it's gosh. Massive. Yeah, it's huge. And I'm driving off the Channel in the train, and it ends up in my lap. I'm like, oh snap! And I boof, and we in the train. The walls are straight until there's like bathrooms, and it juts out. Boom! I hit it. I'm like, oh, what the? I hit this like little jutting out little wall portion.
Yeah.
Well, can't really check it out. We pull off, we get out of the Channel, get kind of off of the out of the train. Look, and we're like, everything looks good. Like everything's fine. We go to drive, and it's like 11 o'clock at night. We're going around a roundabout, like, you know, kind of a you know, cloverleaf kind of turn, and it's like, and like park. And the wheel hit the wall and broke the suspension.
Oh no.
So it's like 10, 11 at night. And, we're now in France, and, we're stranded. So the car has stickers all over, but it was like a factory OEM car. So we pulled all the stickers off and basically sent it to warranty. And then I scumballed the rest. Like I'm in the back of a van with a bunch of people on Nürburgring.
Oh,
like
geez.
Going on Gumball the rest of the trip and do this and get in this car. I rode with these psychos in this supercharged Mercedes-Benz like E55 back in the day. It was like some ridiculous. They popped a tire. Like I was the bad luck, dude. I was like the black cloud over everybody's stuff.
You scumball.
Yeah. Yeah, I was scumballed it, dude. And yeah, it was crazy. That's so wild. that's. Yeah, that was a story that came to my mind, which I haven't thought about in years. So I just had to bring it up.
You just reminded me of a story of at Mid-Ohio Grid Life 2 years ago or 3 years ago. I'm in Grid, and I see my buddy's Honda Fit go by. It's a K-Swap Fit. And he pulls out. I'm just checking cars in Grid, just doing my job, right? And he pulls past me, and I'm like, what is on the back window of that thing? And it's a freaking like 12-inch black dildo with a suction cup.
Male genitalia.
Yeah.
Mr. Chippe.
And I'm like, and it keeps going, and a group of car buddies.
The dildo keeps going?
No, the car with the dildo.
with said hammer.
And yeah, with the unit. And and it rolls out onto Grid, and I'm like, oh, geez, that thing better. And I look over.
That is not tech. That is not passive tech. That is active aero.
Yeah, I
that
know,
is
right?
An active aero unit on the back.
It's totally, totally not in the bounds of the track battle rule set, right? Me and Abe have not put that into the rule set. And I look over, and my buddies down grid, it's some of the Ramblers, which is a car group from Chicago that I'm a part of. And one of them is our lead photographer, Sullivan, Chris Sullivan. And he's laughing his ass off. And he had just freaking like kerplunked that thing on the back window, right? And it goes by us about 2 minutes later on Asher's warm up lap, and the dildo's just going wank bonk bonk like back and forth, and then third or second lap going by us, it's not there anymore, and I'm like, oh jeez, oh. And then every single time the Mid Ohio track staff had to like go out for debris on the racetrack for the next like. So for the next, like, 6 hours, it was, like, early in the morning, I'm like, oh, shit, that better not be a fucking dildo.
It's like the wacky, waveable, inflated, crazy arm guy, like, on the back of the fit.
I was going to be so pissed if we had to, like, scrub somebody's session because one of the Ramblers dropped a dildo on the racetrack.
Yeah, major oil spill. Wait, that's not oil. Oh, it's a black hammer.
So yeah, for about five or six.
Was it black or was it flesh color? Traditionally, they're like black.
No, it was like purpley black. It was like danger.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was dangerously black.
So it was literally the eggplant emoji.
Oh yeah,
suction cups on the back.
Exactly, and so, yeah, for like the rest of the day until we could like do a track walk. It never got found ever again. But we had probably four or five like debris calls. Like, and I'm on the track radio, and they're like, "Oh, we got debris in five. We're gonna have to send a truck after this session." I'm like, "Okay, good. At least the session's gonna happen before they find the dildo."
You might want to check Austin's luggage. I think Austin actually snaked it. Yeah, he keistered it home.
He might have stole it. You never know. It's probably his favorite thing, right?
Right.
Yeah. So anyway.
Love you, Austin.
Yeah. No, we're into this thing for a while. I got to go make dinner for the kid. So I appreciate the time, buddy. Hopefully we can do this again sometime. Maybe in real life while we're on the back of a golf cart or something this time.
Yep, looking forward to it. Thank you for your time, man. Yeah, check it out. Beer with Jared Deanda, because everybody enjoys Roadrunners. Available on all platforms where you find podcasts. If not, then look somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah. If just download some different aggregator if you can't find it. Right?
Exactly.
All right, man. Well, good luck with event season, and I appreciate the time, buddy. So.
Right on, brother. Hopefully you make up some sweet gumbo or something for your daughter.
Yeah, well, I'm not making gumbo. That's Abe. That's an Abe thing. I'm gonna microwave a hot dog. It's gonna be real shambles over here. So.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Later, all right, brother. Love you. Thank you so much.
See you,
peace.
Well, that was fun. All right, everybody. We appreciate the time. And check out tracktune.com. We appreciate all the support of our Patreons. You guys are the best. You girls are the best. And I hope you guys have the best Tuesday or whatever day it is. That was fun. Have a good afternoon.
Slip Angle was created by Austin Cabot and Adam Jabe, co-hosted by Derek Yarbrough, and production by Abram Schmucker, who mixes all of our terrible audio. If you like the show, please rate us and review us on iTunes, and come and find us in the pits at a grid live to say hello.